By the way, my name is Alfred, for those of you who do not know me. I am the I'm a Connect Group leader. Together with my wife, we lead a group of Connect Group leaders also. And part of my role, I'm also looking after the operations for the church and the finance of the church. So it's an exciting job, I have to say. Well, for the past month or so, we've talked about sex. Last week, we talked about money. Today, I'm going to talk about rock and roll. Yeah, you didn't get that. Never mind. I worked really hard to try to make you guys laugh, but I guess the sobbing is still continuing, eh? Well, like what Pastor Wee Yong said, we are starting with a brand new series called Represent. But before I get further into it, do you remember who we are as Every Nation Auckland Central? If I were to ask some of the oldies here, at oldies as in, you know, those who have been with our church for a while, do you remember who we are? No, I won't bother asking Kelly because he'll be looking at me like, what? Do you all remember who we are? Okay, I guess not. In fact, do you remember? Oh, he's looking at me like, what? Well, let's recite that together, all right? This is who we are. We are a
multicultural, multi-generational, socially responsible church that makes disciples.
Okay, this is who we are. Multicultural. Look, just look around you. Just turn around. You're allowed to turn around. You don't have to look at me now. Just look around you. Multicultural. Right? We have Asians that eat a lot of Asian food, rice. Right? We have the Pacific Islanders, the Oceania. Our American lady is in America. We have the Kiwis, all right? Thanks, Sam. So we are a multicultural and we are multi-generational, okay? We have our kids' church running there, all right? We have some of us that are young adults, parents. We have our nana, papa that are in this church. So we are not just a church that focus on, you know, one culture or one generation, right? We are a multicultural, multi-generational church. However, we end this day socially responsible. By the way, socially responsible, that's coming up really soon. We're going to make some exciting announcement in the next coming months. We are a socially responsible church that makes disciples. Okay, you may be wondering, okay, makes disciples, that... All right, that's Every Nation World, right? When you talk about every nation, we make disciples. When we were forming this, we have the who we are and what we do. But we put making disciples as who we are, not just what we do. Okay? So it is part of our DNA of making disciples. It's not just something that we casually do, but if you look at us, we make disciples. It's in our DNA. In fact, all our events, we put it through the lens of discipleship. Is it making disciples? If it's not making disciples, we really, really, really need to have a good reason on why we are going to run it. Because else, what's the point? What's the point of filling up a stadium? What's the point of having some good songs and making everybody feel good? If we are not making disciples, we miss the point. Okay? So last month, I think it was last month or 2 months ago, we had a Disciple Makers class, right? How many of y'all were there in the Disciple Makers class? Right, so if I show you this, you possibly know what I'm talking about. And for those of you who have seen, this is the first time you're seeing it. In Every Nation, we talk about the four E's, right? This is our disciple-making path, okay? Engage, establish, equip, and empower. So like what Pastor Wee Yong said, we will only be focusing on the first E today, which is engage. Okay? Engage. So when we talk about engage, all right, it's like sometimes when we tell the church, come on, let's engage the people, a lot of us immediately hit a brick wall or we get a nervous breakdown. We kind of like, Pastor Wiyong is going to ask me to talk to strangers again, holding that God test, like, go talk to 200 strangers this week. So we get a bit nervous. Some of us like talking to strangers, but most of us get nervous talking to strangers. You know, he's going to ask me to tell them about their sinful life. You know, go tell them how sinful they are. They're like, ugh, I can't do that. Everybody will hate me. What are they going to think about me in the office, in the campus? Or they're going to ask me to confront them, where are you going to go after you die? If you don't know Jesus, you're going to go to hell. And like, oh no, I have to do that. You know, actually, engaging, it's not that scary. We don't always do that. We don't always tell people that they are going to hell. We tell people they're going to heaven, all right? All right? We tell people there's a better life, not just a sinful life, all right? So, to try to ease some of us a little bit, how many of us are married here or courting? Courting, you know, some of you are in secret courting, like, some of you do not dare to raise your hand, and the other guy's like knocking, like, am I courting? Are we courting? You need to DTR, all right? Define the relationship. Some of us, if you are married, engaged, or in a courting relationship, can you remember the first time when you meet your spouse or your boyfriend or girlfriend? How did you start the conversation? My wife is looking at me, he's like, oh no. For those of you who know our story, she actually said to the sister, or actually the sister told her, whoever married that guy, oh no. But you know, it's actually, you know, when you are first time meeting with your wife, your spouse or your boyfriend or girlfriend, some of you may have used this phrase. Are you a magician? Because when I'm with you, everyone else seems to disappear. What about this? I think I'm not Joseph. Because I can't interpret all the dreams I've been having about you. One more? Are you taking notes? When I look at my wife, I think, are you a camera? Because I can't stop smiling when I look at you. One more? Nah. You come up with your own. Go and engage some people, all right? Later, after lunch, do some engaging. All right. No, that's not what we're talking about, all right? I'm not here to give you an example of how to do courtship. But I'm going to show you an example on how Jesus engages with people. All right? How Jesus engages with people. We are a church on a Sunday, so we need to talk about Jesus. And he's the best example on how we can engage people. All right? Let's look at this scripture, Luke chapter 10. In this scripture, Jesus was teaching his disciples on how to engage with the harvest. It's actually a scripture before he sends out the 72 to the community. And this is also the time when he said, you know, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. And after that, he gave this teaching. He says, whatever house you enter, first say, peace be to this house. And if a son of peace is there, your peace will rest upon him. But if not, it will return to you. And remain in the same house, eating and drinking what they provide, for the laborer deserves his wages. Do not go from house to house. Whenever you enter a town and they receive you, eat what is set before you. Heal the sick in it and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. Okay, there's a few verses in here that over the next 4 weeks, we're going to be talking about. All right? Is it showing? Oh, yep. Okay, let's have a look. In verse 5, it says, first say, peace be to this house. This is where, when we start our engaging, Jesus is teaching us, when you start engaging, start a conversation. Okay, not just, hey, hello, how are you? Once you get past that, you speak blessing to that family. You speak blessing to that person, all right? And then on verse 7, it says, in the same house, eating and drinking what they provide. Or the agent said, yeah, please have rice and dumplings, all right? But truly, Jesus says, stay at that place, okay? Build a relationship, all right? So next week, Pastor Richard will be talking about building a relationship, okay? In verse 9, it says, heal the sick, all right? You start a conversation, you build the relationship, and you meet their felt needs, okay? Once you build the relationship, you begin to know more about their lives, more about their stories, okay? And this is where you can actually pray for them. Pray for God's kingdom. Pray for God to do something miracle in their lives, okay? So Pastor William will be talking on that on the third week. And the last one, it says, the kingdom of God has come near to you. Then you preach the gospel, right? A lot of us are very good at 1, 2, 3, especially number 2, but we forgot to do number 4, all right? We've been building relationship and meeting the felt need for the past 10 years, and yet we have not shared the gospel. Can I just remind everyone that the power of the gospel brings changed lives, all right? So in all that we do, please remember to share the gospel, okay? So today I'm going to be talking about starting a conversation. Okay, I will use another scripture or another incident in the Bible that Jesus perfectly exemplified on how he starts a conversation. Okay, John chapter 4, a very popular story, the Samaritan woman and Jesus. Does everyone know this story? Never mind, we'll read through it. It says, now when Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus was making and baptizing more disciples than John, although Jesus himself did not baptize but only his disciple, he left Judea and departed again for Galilee. And he had to pass through Samaria. So he came to a town of Samaria called Sychar, near the field that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, so Jesus, wearied as he was from his journey, was sitting beside the well. It was about the 6th hour. A woman from Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, give me a drink, for his disciple had gone away into the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, how is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a woman of Samaria? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. Jesus answered her, if you knew the gift of God, and who is it that is saying to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for already all the wonderful testimonies that has happened on the weekend. But Lord, this morning I pray, Lord God, that you inspire us, Lord Father, and to allow us to come into your presence to understand your heart for us to engage with others that do not know you, O Lord. Father, I pray that every word that is going to be spoken, O Lord, Father, you will use it, O Lord, Father, to the extension of your kingdom, O Lord, to allow all of us, O Lord, Father, to participate in this great commission of yours, O Lord. Thank you, Jesus, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if you look at this story, there's two main characters, the Samaritan and a Jew. Jesus is the Jewish man, all right? To better grasp the significance of this incident between the Samaritan the encounter between Jesus and the Samaritan woman. And I'll just give you a brief background about why there is a conflict between the Samaritans and the Jews. Right? Remember that the scripture over here says, for the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. So you may be like, ooh, that's so racist. Yeah, it is racist. Okay? So let me explain to you what are the Samaritans or who are the Samaritans. Right? The Samaritans, they are originally Jewish. However, in the Old Testament time, the Samaritan, how they come about is they intermarried the Assyrians. Okay, so the Jewish people, they married outside of the Jewish race or culture, and they married the Assyrians. You'll be like, what's wrong? Intermarried. In our days, in our context right now, it's perfectly fine. Okay, but during those times, the Assyrians are like the arch enemy of the Jews. Okay, can you imagine that the way that the Assyrians take over the lands or destroy their enemies are very brutal? Okay, and God actually says that we need to stay away from them until the time is ready for you to conquer the land. But what happens when they started, some of the Jews began to intermarry the Assyrians, and that's who they are. Right, this intermarriage created a new culture called Samaritans. Okay, so because of that, the Jews look at the Samaritans and think that, ooh, they are such a traitor. Okay, they married our enemies. Okay, so they began to ostracize them. They began to say, nope, we have no dealings with them. Okay, so therefore, that's why there's such high tension between the Jews and the Samaritans. Okay. So when Jesus needed to get to, when Jesus left Judea to go to Galilee, he was saying that I need to go through Samaria. Okay. So for centuries, when a Jewish person wants to travel to Galilee, they have to make a big detour. Okay. I'll show you a map over here. All right. If you look at This is Judea. I don't know why it's spelled at Judea. Maybe it is. All right. And this is Galilee. Normally, for a Jew to get to Galilee, they will go around here. They will walk around. They skip over Samaria and walk around to Galilee. Okay. It's like, you know, if you're staying in Takanini and you want to get to the city, what's the closest way? You take motorway one, right? Straight road. But no, I do not like to see Sylvia Park at all. So what I do is I'll detour to motorway 20, get off motorway 16, then get back to the city. Except for the Jews, it's a 3 days detour. It's not a 20 minutes detour. It's a 3 days detour. So that's how much the Jews do not want to deal with the Samaritans. Okay, but if you look at what Jesus did, Jesus said, "Nap, I will go through here straight." Jesus is smart. Let's look at the scripture. It says, he left Judea and departed again for Galilee, and he had to pass through Samaria. Oops. He had to pass through. So it wasn't just a convenient thing. It wasn't just because it makes sense to get through. Jesus was saying, I have to get to Samaria. Why? Why did Jesus come from heaven to earth? He came from heaven to earth to reconcile all men and women, not just the Jews. So in Jesus' mind, he has to deal with this problem of the Samaritans. Because if he leaves without dealing with them, the Jews won't deal with the Samaritans. So Jesus knows, I have to deal with the Samaritans. I have to reach out to the Samaritans. I have to engage the Samaritans. Jesus was intentional in his planning. Right? So even though he has to get to a city, he knows, I have to make a plan to deal with this rift between the Samaritans and the Jews. Is there anyone that you are intentionally engaging? I'm not talking about the time where, you know, you have diversity week, where you take a God test and I intentionally go and engage 200 people, or I want to take an evangelist track right now, go on the street and start evangelizing. I'm not talking about that. That is all good. However, I believe that God always puts somebody in our hearts, and we need to intentionally do the engaging. Has there been a relative that you know that God is asking you to engage? A friend, a colleague, a classmate? I think a lot of us sometimes feel God is asking us to, hey, go talk to that person. And you're like, ooh, is that you, Jesus? Nah, I think it's not you. So I encourage you, you know, to think about the people that is around you. You know, you don't have to talk to strangers like what I gave an example earlier, but to just look at your friends list, your family, your relation, your relatives, and see how you can start a conversation with them. Speak blessing to them. All right? See if they have a felt need. Okay? Meet those felt needs. Share the gospel. Okay? In the Lego Principle book by Pastor Joey, it states that discipleship does not start when people give their lives to Christ and come to church. It begins long before that. It begins when we engage in a relationship. So when we talk about discipleship in this church, it's not when somebody have become a Christian, then you start doing discipleship. No, discipleship starts way before that. It starts at a time when you start to engage them in a relationship. You know, for myself, I remember I was not a Christian yet, and my lecturer was engaging me, all right, about lives, about situations. And one of the things that I remember that still, after 20 over years, it's he was asking me, what am I doing for Christmas? I thought, oh, he's going to ask me for church. But actually, I said, no, I have no Christmas plan. And then I said, okay, why don't you just come and join me for dinner with my family? So he took me out for dinner, just with his family, just he and his wife and a young daughter. And we just have a very simple Christmas dinner. So, well, in the Christmas dinner, as what Christians do, you know, they pray, and then we just eat and talk and fellowship. Nothing else. But it leaves a lasting impression in me. Because as a non-Christian, I began to see how a Christian family actually functions. I began to understand a little bit more about spiritual family. It wasn't a fancy dinner, just a simple home-cooked meal that I got invited for a family Christmas meal. Okay, why am I saying this? I think sometimes we can open up a little bit more of our homes to people that we are engaging, because you never know. Maybe they are just looking at you to see how your lives is being lived. And that will speak volumes to them. Sometimes not words, it's our action. Okay? So Jesus was intentional in doing that. Well, in verse 6, Jacob's well was there. So Jesus, weary as he was from his journey, was sitting beside the well. It was about the sixth hour. A woman from Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, give me a drink. Well, I like to say that this scripture, I've taken it from the ESV translation, okay? Not a Kiwi translation, even though the Bible said weary ass, you know, like sweet ass, cool ass, okay? It's actually ESV, all right? Not a Kiwi translation. Maybe we can come up with something like that. Anyone wants to write a Bible translation right now? Okay, you look at here, Jesus walked for 6 hours, okay? No cars, no trains, no public transport. He and the disciples was walking from Judea to Sychar. He walked for 6 hours in the heat of the day, and he was tired, weary as. He's tired, but yet, when he saw the opportunity to minister to the woman, he still does it. He still does it. Just think about this a little bit. Jesus, the Son of God, came from heaven to earth. Jesus, the Son of God, that has the authority to create the universe, to drive out demons. And yet he came from heaven to earth in all humanity to reach out to you and me. And he didn't do it in his godly deity. He did it in his humanity deity. That means he gets hungry, he gets tired. He went to the cross and he suffered for us. Jesus came to be tired just for you and me. Sometimes are we too tired for somebody else? Have we said, oh, I'm too busy this week. Maybe I'll just skip that appointment. Oh, it's him again. It's him again. You know, one of the great things working in a church, in a church office, is I get to see people moving in and out. Okay, I get to see people coming in and out. I get to see Pastor Wee Yong in action, you know. He's the campus pastor, you know, the celebration pastor. I get to see him in action. And I got permission to share this story from a guy. This guy, his name is Josh. Not you, Josh, but the other Josh. Sound guy, Josh. You know, Pastor Wee Yong, the summary of Josh's story is, it's okay, Josh, we're cool. We talk about this, eh? The summary of this is, you know, Pastor Wee Yong met Josh at a campus, shared the gospel to him, and he and a few friends came to church, excited, right? Gave their life to Christ, and then started to attend all kinds of meetings. Any connect groups that they are there, they show up. You know, we call that the fellowship junkies, right? Remember fellowship junkies? I think some of you guys nodding your head, yep. Right, they turn up to every connect groups, every meetings that they can get their hands on. And after like, I don't know how long, a couple of months maybe, suddenly Josh disappeared from the scenes of the church. It's like, where's Josh? Nobody knows. But what did Pastor Wee Yong do? Pastor Wee Yong keep texting him, not like, hey bro, where are you? Why are you not in church? Pastor Wee Yong was speaking blessing to him, you know, speaking blessing to his life, texting him scriptures, praying for you, bro. How are you? You know, just keep repeating doing that. Pastor Young was quite relentless, you know. He was in action, in his action. And behold, one of the texts that Pastor Young sent to Josh, God uses that and began to deal with Josh hard when he was reading that text. He was saying, and I was chatting with Josh, he was like, suddenly one of the scriptures Pastor Young sent was something about God loves me regardless of my situation. And that broke me. You just never know. You just never know. You know, we may be thinking what we're doing is it's tiring, physically, emotionally draining. But you never know the blessing that you speak to that person. God will use that and turn that person's life around. Right? Similar with Jesus. He was tired, but he didn't allow his physical limitation to stop him from engaging the woman. He was inexorable, relentless. All right? I encourage you, church. Sometimes we may feel that we have our rights. I'm saying this, why? Because I know, I say that I have my rights. I need to have my me time. I need to have my downtime. I need to watch Iron Fist at 9:30 at night. You ask my wife, she knows. Don't disturb me. But sometimes, if God is asking you to move, don't give excuses to God, because you never know. One simple text can change a life. One simple conversation can change a life. Let's look at verse 7. Are we doing okay? Are you feeling weary ass? Let's look at a woman from Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." For his disciple had gone away into the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a woman of Samaria? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." Remember I was telling you that the Jews do not deal with the Samaritans? Okay. In this verse, Jesus broke another cultural barrier. Not only is he stepping out of his comfort zone to talk to a Samaritan, but he's also talking to a woman. In those days, okay, you can't talk to a woman. Yeah, I can't understand that either. But in those days, you have to break the cultural barrier. If you need to talk to a Samaritan, you need to talk to a woman. Okay? So Jesus is showing us that if we were to engage our culture and community, especially in Auckland, right? If you look at Auckland, you look at our church, we are so multicultural and diverse, we have to be able to step out of our comfort zone. Okay? You got to learn to eat pies. You got to learn to eat rice. All right? Yeah. And I love both of it right now. Because God loves every person, no matter the color of their skins, the language they speak, or their cultural nuances. All right? Some of the things that they do, we do not understand. Okay? I remember when I was an when I first went to England to study, okay, I was put into this student accommodation. Okay, so here I am, the Asian guy, and a few South American, and a lot of Brits. Hello, Lions. So there were a few British flatmates in there. So we were in the kitchen. All right, so I did my dishes. How does Asian do dishes? Some of you may not understand how Asians do dishes. All right, what we do, we take our dirty dishes, we rinse it, we put the detergent, we scrub, 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 and we rinse off our detergent, we put it on a drying rack. Right? Is that how we do this? Is that how Filipino do dishes? Is that how Chinese do dishes? Yeah, that's how we do dishes. All right, so I put it there. And to my horror, my British flatmate comes into the kitchen. She put on a hot tub of hot water, squeezed the detergent on that, put in the dirty dishes, scrub, 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 put it on the drying rack right beside me. I was like, why didn't she rinse that dish? Do you find that too? Have you accepted that? Rita, are you still rinsing your? Yeah, you're still rinsing it, and the British flatmate was looking at me like, "Why are you rinsing? Why are you wasting water?" I was like, so that it's clean. And then I took my dish, all right, because it's time for dinner. I put my dinner on that. She was like, oh, that's so unhygienic. I said, what do you mean? You didn't dry your plate. I said, yeah, it's okay. I rinse it. And then she rinsed, she took her plate and she wiped it dry and she used it for dinner. And I look at her, oh, that's so unhygienic. You didn't rinse your plate. But she said, but I wiped it dry. Who's wrong here? Nobody is wrong. It's just different way of doing things, right? I rinse and I eat. She dry and she eats. And we both survive. Right? So now when I go to a Kiwi household, I do what they do. I scrub, 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 put it there. Okay? When the Kiwi people comes to my house, they scrub, 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 put it there. I took it back and rinse, and I put it back. So, you know, we must not allow our cultural differences stop us from being a spiritual family. Okay? Some of us may sound a little bit funny, like right now you're trying to figure out what I'm saying, some of my words. But it's okay. The Spirit of God is speaking to you. Okay? Some of us, like, oh, this whole group, they speak a language that I do not understand. That's okay. Because as soon as I walked in there, they start to speak to me in English. Right? If you ask the Filipino, they know. They don't have to invite Alfred for the party. He just turned up. Right? What I'm trying to say is, Jesus, Jesus is inclusive, all right? He came down for all men, all women, whether it's the enemy of the Jewish people or the Jews or the Gentiles, he loved them all. I am encouraging all of us to be inclusive. Look around you. Maybe today, just try to speak to somebody that is from a different culture. Okay? Practice so that you get comfortable. And then when you see your colleague or your classmates on Monday, you can actually step out of the boat. Yeah, sometimes you need that much faith to start engaging with them. Okay? I'm at 12 o'clock. I just want to end this sermon with another story. I remember I mentioned earlier that sometimes the text that we send, the scripture that we encourage our people, the blessing that we say to our people, we may not know what God is using that for. Okay. But I want to tell you about a story of a family in our church. Okay. They were, in their words, at the verge of divorce. Yeah, their marriage was in such trouble that they're thinking of getting a divorce. They have kids, and they were just trying to make sense of the whole family thing. So one day, the wife, you know, just doing normal things, they went to a furniture shop to buy a couch with the sister, and they were talking in their own language. I don't know how to say it, but they were talking about their own language. And then a salesman by the name of Isagani, one of our elders, he was standing there and he overheard the conversation. So Gani turned around to the lady, hey, I heard in your conversation that you're looking for a church. And Gani said, why don't you come to our church, Every Nation, Auckland? The time was Every Nation, North Shore. Just come to our church, just come to our church. And then what happens is, the lady said, okay, all right, we'll exchange numbers. And Sunday, instead of going to Westlake Boys School, they went to Westlake Girls Schools. And they're like, oh, I can't find Gani. I said, where's Gani? So they texted Gani. They're like, oh, sorry, I didn't tell you it was in the boys' school, so they came to the boys' school. The first time they came to church, they got introduced to the spiritual family. What Gani did, Gani continued to engage them, invite them to connect groups, share lives, speak blessing, pray for them. Eventually, the family gave their life to Christ. Marriage was restored. More kids came along. And they became our Every Nation Kids Director, the Erazos. That is their story. And it all started because Gani took a step of faith to engage a stranger. Continue to minister to them, even though they're like, oh, if you know Mike during that time, Mike was a staunch Catholic and is like, no, no. What this church is talking about, it's way out. It's crazy. But no, Gani continued to bless them, pray for them. And the family, literally transforming generations right now. Because they took a step of faith. You know, the last thing that I want to do when we come up here to talk about engaging is to make you feel guilty about not doing it. Or to make you feel obligated. Or to walk away from this sermon and say, yeah, some funny stories, some good stories up there. But that's not me. The truth is, if we rely on our own strength, if I rely on my own, I can't do it. I can't engage properly. But if we rely on Jesus, He can do it. He can help us. He can give us the Holy Spirit, the anointing, the love that we lack to engage with others. Okay? I want to speak to two group of people over here. And the first group of people that I want to speak to is those that do not know Jesus yet. And you may be wondering, sitting at this church, wondering, why is the church always talking about reaching out to me? Why is the church always talking about engaging me? I tell you why. It's because Jesus, He loves us so much that He intentionally leaves His heaven, came down to be a man so that He could relate to us. Jesus was inexorable, relentless, that He will endure the suffering, the pain, to go on the cross for you and I. Jesus was inclusive, all of us, because He wants to see all of us coming back to God, to be reconciled back to God. So if you will bow your heads and close your eyes, just to give ourselves some privacy. If you felt that Jesus is tugging, making a tug in your heart, or if you feel that you want to start this conversation to engage with someone, can I ask you to raise your hand? I want to speak to the Christian right now. I've said this is not a guilt sermon or a sermon to make you feel guilty. But as Christians, We are all called to be the ambassadors of God and live to our own. It's going to be hard. So I want to pray for all of us Christians. If you are a Christian, I ask you to lift your hands. I want to pray. All right. If you are a Christian, I want to ask you to raise your hand. Because I want to pray that God will give you the anointing, the power, that God Himself will empower you to engage. Father, I pray for all the hands that are raised, that God, that you will look down upon it and use it, O Lord Father, for the people that are dear to your heart, Lord. Lord, I pray for some of us, O Lord Father, that struggles in this area, that God, that you help us to see what you see, to feel what you feel, and help us to do what you will do. Thank you, Jesus. I pray, Lord, that God, that we will take this as a next step when we see our colleagues, our families, our relatives, our classmates, that God, that we will be a blessing to them. We will speak truth and life into their lives. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name.